Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to know the mighty one.
Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to the program. We really appreciate that. This is Brent Ciotta filling in for Steve Klein. In Matthew 16, and by the way, we'd love to have you out to worship with us, have Bible study and worship this morning at 9 a.m. I'll say a little bit more about that and the website as we go along in the program. But in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23, in that section of Scripture, Jesus was describing to his disciples how that he was going to suffer and die at the hands of the Jews. You remember how that Peter took him aside, told him, "Far be it from thee, Lord. That kind of thing should never happen to you." And then you remember how Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." So Peter, he said, "Peter, you're minding the things of man, not the things of God." We remember how that Jesus came, he would speak of how he came to do the Father's will. And we know from Scripture, the Old Testament prophecies, Jesus was He was going to suffer and die for you and I. And so Peter, in trying to get him, deter him from doing that, he was a stumbling block. But it was because Peter was not minding the things of God. I take it he did not have a full, proper understanding and wisdom about God's plan and what he was doing. Or else I don't think he would have said that. But Jesus said, "You're not minding the things of God. You're not savoring the things of God." And could it be in our lives that we, because of a lack of proper understanding of God's will, we're not minding God's things and seeing what to him is important and what is valuable? And so I'd like to look this morning with you at just a handful of things that I believe are of great value. They're certainly of great value to God. And as we see from Scripture, they should be to us. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, the writer tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. We want to get wisdom. That is so valuable. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 14, the writer tells us that the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. In other words, when we talk about return on investment, we're going to get a lot better return on investment from wisdom than we are from silver and gold. It is the main thing. And I think we see that when we look at a passage like Matthew 16 and verse 26. Jesus went on to say, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So we want to be wise toward God. The name of this program is The Way That Leads to Life. And so we want to look into God's word, find out what he wants, and be mindful and savor the things of God so that we can have eternal life. We don't want to lose our soul over things that are not really that valuable. So we want to see, for example, wisdom and the value of wisdom. In Job chapter 28, verse 28, Job made this statement. He said, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." How do we get wisdom? Fear God. Keep his commandments. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Well, how do we get wisdom? How do we have a proper understanding in order of God to fear him, to reverence him, to know his will so that we can know what to turn from, what to turn toward? It's going to be from a study of God's word. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Romans 10:17. You can go to the website of the church, www.eastside-church.org, There's a number of Bible helps, Bible correspondence courses on the book of Mark, the book of Acts, and a lesson series on Jesus the Way. Also the numbers of the phone number of the elders and Steve. If you'd like to take one of those courses, maybe talk to someone about the Bible, go to that website and look at that. Also, I'd be happy to talk with you, say for an hour, have just an hour study with you at your convenience about the Word of God. Maybe something that I say on this program you'd like to get back with me about. My phone number is 256-206-2057, 256-206-2057. But we're talking about wisdom and obtaining wisdom through the Word of God. In Isaiah 66, in verse 1 and 2, in Isaiah 66, the prophet began talking about how that someone may want to build a temple to God, you know, build a house for God. And God was saying, you know, that's not, you know, I've made everything. You know, what are we going to do for God? He's made it all. He's creator. But here's what he said. He said, to this man will I look. And I take it, here's what's important to God. Here's what's valuable to God. Not some edifice or whatever that we might build to him. But here's what's important. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Someone who's humble and reverences his word, trembles at his word. That's the one that, can you imagine that? The creator of the universe is going to look toward that kind of person. Someone who is in humility looks to his word. So we need to understand the value of wisdom. Wisdom is the main thing. Something else very valuable in God's sight and should be in ours is his kingdom. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught, you remember how that he taught his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Well, we need to understand that God's kingdom is already here. In Acts chapter 2 verses 30 and 31, we see how that the apostle Peter was describing to those Jews on the day of Pentecost that God raised Jesus up from the dead to sit on his throne. We can see that in Acts 2, verses 30 and 31. So Jesus is ruling now, has been, over his spiritual kingdom. And we can be a part of that. But Jesus went on to say in that prayer, teaching on prayer, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we want God's reign and rule of righteousness in our lives? Well, we need to see the importance of his kingdom, his rule of righteousness in our lives. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, Jesus spoke of a pearl of great price and a great treasure that was hidden in a field. And he says that someone sold all they had and bought that pearl of great price. Someone sold all that they had and bought that field so that they could get that amazing treasure. He said, that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's how important it is. It's like a pearl of great price. You know, it's something that we should put first in our lives. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, he was showing us in that passage that we don't need to put father or mother, even our own life, above Jesus. We can't do that, or else we're not really fit for the kingdom of God. We see that in Luke chapter 9, verses 61 through 62. So we want to put God's kingdom first. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And of course, in that context, he was showing us that don't worry about your food and clothing. You'll have what you need. Just seek his kingdom first. Seek his righteousness. Is God's kingdom important to you? And I'm including myself in that question. Is God's kingdom important to us? Are we seeking his righteousness? Do I want his will done in my life? You know, when we pray, thy will be done, it may very well be like as we see from Peter. You know, he was in minding the things of man. He was not placing the proper importance on the things of God and Jesus' purpose. And it may be that, you know, we do want God's righteousness to be done in our lives. We want his will to be done, but it may not be what we like. But we need to be willing to accept that and want God's will done even if we don't like it. As Peter, as we see from Peter, Lord, you can't die like that. You can't suffer and die at the hands of the Jews. You haven't done anything wrong, I would think, in his mind. You know, far be it from you. Something that shameful happened to you. But even the things that we don't like, we need to want if it's God's will. In Matthew chapter 5, and we don't have time to delve into Matthew chapter 5, but in Matthew chapter 5, about the last half of that chapter, you know how that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us. And he was showing people principles of kingdom law. And in the latter part of Matthew chapter 5, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus was describing to people things that would be important to God under the new kingdom, in kingdom law. Like he would tell, he would teach, don't be angry with your brother without a cause. Don't call him a fool. Don't lust. Don't divorce your wife. You'll cause her to commit adultery. Don't swear. Just say yes or no. Don't fight back. Love your enemy. Do good to them that persecute you. And in fact, we'll turn over there in Matthew chapter 5. Just read that verse 44. In Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here's kingdom law. Do we want God's rule of righteousness in our life? Something else that is very important to God is virtue, moral excellence or strength. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5, Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. That's what every one of us should be doing. You know, we believe in God. We're seeking Him. We're looking into His Word. Well, Peter says, add virtue to your faith. That's something that we all should do. But what I would like to do is just draw an illustration, make a point on virtue from some passages about women. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, Proverbs 31 verse 10, the writer there talks to us about a virtuous woman. You know, here again, we're talking about virtue, something that is morally excellent or a moral strength. A virtuous woman. Who can find a he says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Young man, if you have the choice of a basket of jewels, man, you could take these jewels, sell all of these things, and have all you have a choice between a basket of jewels and a virtuous woman. Take the woman and run, I might say. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And he goes through in Proverbs 31 and describes many excellent characteristics of this virtuous woman. But one thing I'd like to hone in on is down in verse 26, because I'd like to make a segue into a New Testament passage. In verse 26, it tells us, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. We were talking about wisdom a moment ago. Wisdom is something that comes from a fear of God, learning His Word. But she opens her mouth, this virtuous woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Young man, if you are interested in a woman, you're going to marry a woman, and she does not open her mouth in wisdom, she does not open her mouth, and her tongue is not the law of kindness, I'd encourage you to run. I'd encourage you to run. You want a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Down in verse 30, the writer goes on to say, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. You know, we're all growing old, and beauty is going to fade. But it goes on to say, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, if we were all as human beings talking together about things that are valuable, you know, some of us might mention some expensive automobile or a mansion or some big piece of real estate or some fancy jewelry, and oh, these are valuable things. But you know, when you think about, here's the Creator. And he's putting his stamp of approval on these things that are written here by this in this passage in Proverbs. what's important, what would you think would be important to the Creator? I mean, if something was important to a Creator, would that not be something, man, scramble, let me find out what in the world a Creator would think is important. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is so greatly valuable. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, remember the man Boaz? He was speaking about Ruth. He said in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, he said, all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. Young man, is it known that the young lady that you're interested in, is she a virtuous woman? Boaz said about Ruth here in Ruth chapter 3, everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. That is so vitally important. In 1 Peter chapter 3, now let's make a segue into the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Here's something the Apostle Peter said was so important. He shows this. He says, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a, you know, say a lady or someone puts on ornaments of jewels or whatever. Well, here's something that's really important, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, a gentle and peaceable spirit, a gentle and peaceable spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Again, we're talking about what is important to the Creator, what's valuable to the Creator. What does He say is important? A lady with a gentle and peaceable spirit, a virtuous woman. I think of something in the New Testament that is the antithesis of that, the opposite of that. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. In this instruction, and this is an instruction that even among the religious people, in the religious world, even among Christians, I would say, even among Christians, is debated. But it's something that we need to understand. We're talking about being mindful of the things of God, savoring the things of God, not necessarily what I want, as Jesus told Peter. Peter, you're savoring, you're minding the things that be of man. Well, here's something that's important to God. He says, and this, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. You see, a lot of even religious leaders in the world, women. But here Peter says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. So here's this gentle and peaceable spirit. Here is a virtuous woman, one that would fear God and follow His instructions, like in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. You know, someone may say, well, you know, Brent, if someone gives someone authority, give someone, like a woman, authority. Well, you know, let me give you an illustration. What if you were using illegal drugs and the officer stopped you and said, and you said to the officer, well, hey, officer, now I didn't take these drugs. I didn't go, go around, but they were given to me. You know, this authority or whatever, this exercise of authority is given to me. Well, that's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work with an officer. It's not going to work with God. Doesn't matter what someone gives someone. You shouldn't try to give someone something that God says they should not exercise. And so, again, let's, you know, are we minding the things of God? Are what God thinks are important, is that truly important in our lives? Something else important to God is the trial of our faith. In 1 Peter 1, verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. You know, you take gold and you refine it. You burn off the impurities and you've got this pure gold. Well, when God refines us with persecution and trials and temptations, the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 shows us that fleshly lusts war against the soul. 1 John 2, verse 16, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These fleshly lusts war against, we're in the heat of battle with temptation. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, he describes there, people speaking against you as if you were like an evildoer. You know, so here's this ridicule. Or maybe in verse 19, for conscience toward God, someone is enduring grief, so even suffering wrongfully. So here's persecution verbally or physically, and the temptations warring against our soul. The trial of our faith is so important to God. In Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36, here the writer says, well, don't cast away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence. You have need of patience, verse 36. So keep on going. Don't give in. Don't give up. You know, run the race with patience, as he shows us in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, yeah, we're going to go through a trial of our faith. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have ridicule. We're going to fleshly lust. Our desires are going to war against us. That's just a part of this life, but be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. And so the trial of our faith is precious. If we sin, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, in 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, John said, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we sin, when we're battling with temptation, go to Jesus. Go to God. Acts chapter 8, verse 22, repent of your sin. 1 John 1, verse 9, confess that sin to God. Go to your advocate. One time, someone gave an illustration of a Christian's fight with sin being like a Major League Baseball player getting up to bat. You know, when that Major League Baseball player bats and swings, he hates that strike, does he not? He hates it. And when he strikes out, he hates it. But what's he going to do? He's just simply going to get up to bat again, is he not? He's just going to get up to bat again. Don't give in. Don't give up. Yeah, we're going to have a trial of faith. But when you sin, go to your advocate. Keep on going. That trial of our faith is so precious to God. It's more precious than gold. It is so valuable. Something else that is of great value is us. You and I are of great value to God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, in regard to food and clothing, he said, telling us not to worry. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Of course, here's the condition in the passage, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and you'll have all these things. But he says, don't worry. Don't worry about this. In Matthew 10, he says, don't fear. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They can't harm your inner man. They can't harm your soul. No man can. Don't fear them which kill the body. Have you noticed, and this impressed me, that in both of these cases, when he said, don't worry, don't fear, in Matthew 6, Matthew 10, he uses an illustration of the animals. The animals. Now, James 3, verse 9 shows us that you and I, are made after the similitude of God. We're made in the image of God. Men and women, humans are made after the image of God. Animals are not. But Jesus draws an illustration to the animals in Matthew 6 and Matthew 10, and he says, you're much more valuable than they are, but God, look at those birds. God's feeding them. You don't think he's going to take care of you, oh, ye of little faith? And in Matthew 10, this is what really struck me, is he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You know, here in the marketplace, the birds are sold. But he says, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Not one of them is going to fall at the hand of the hunter outside the will of God. Can you imagine that? That even the birds that die fall according to the will of God. And we're of much more value than any animal. We're made in the image of God. Don't worry. Don't fear. You don't think God's not going to take care of you? He's not concerned? Yes, we may die at the hand of man by the will of God, but understand that it is with the will of God and with his allowance and constraints. We are so valuable to God. But the main point I'd like to get at here, and I'd like us to understand, I'd like us to understand something. You know, national events, for example, the memorial of national events, things that we go through in this nation, sometimes they tempt to well within us hatred and vengeance, do they not? They tempt us with that. But do we understand that men and women are valuable to God? We've got to understand that God's going to take care of those wicked people. You know, again, national events come and it tempts us to, and wells within us attitudes of vengeance and hatred. Hey, God's going to take care of the wicked. He always has. He always will. But we need to look at and be mindful of the things of God and what is important to Him. And for example, Matthew 5:44, love your enemy. In some examples, you know, under the Old Testament, God at one time used even His own people to punish wicked men. 1 Samuel 15 tells us that God told Israel to go and smite Amalek. You know, at the proper time, God said, go and destroy these people. 1 Samuel 15, utterly destroy Amalek. You know, that kind of instruction, that time is no more for us today. And God has always and is still using government as a means to punish evil men. He always has and He always will. I remember a time in Old Testament Israel, and we're kind of running out of time, so I won't mention that, but I will mention the passage in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. You know, again, we're talking about what it should be mindful to a Christian. What do we savor? What do we mind? Matthew 5:44, love your enemy. In Romans 13, verse 4, God tells us, He says, He, the government, is the minister of God to thee for good. So let God take care of it. He's taking care of it, even behind the scenes. He's dealing with it. What is our job? Romans 12, verse 18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what you and I are to do as Christians. Live peaceably with all men. Overcome evil with good, verse 21. And in Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. And I believe the context we see in Romans 13 and like in Matthew 5, verse 44, the context of those passages is the general context of life. It's not in spiritual duty. Well, hey, you know, when you're preaching the gospel, make sure you pay your taxes, make sure you do this and that, and, you know. No, in the general context of life in Romans 13, our day-to-day living, every day, let God deal with the wicked. You, Christian, love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Work no ill to your neighbor. Live peaceably with all men. That's what you and I are to do if we are minding the things of God. If we are minding the things that are important to men, what we want to do, the vengeance and hatred and evil that we want to do in return, then that's not going to work. That's not going to work with God. But you and I are valuable to God. Lastly, in the last moment, the blood of Christ is so valuable. Jesus came to suffer and die for you and I. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. And He set us free from our sins. He can set us free from our sins by the precious blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we're not redeemed. We're not set free from sin with silver and gold. God didn't, we weren't released from our sins by money, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, Jesus came to this world to do the Father's will, and amazing, He was sinless. He was sinlessly perfect. But God used that perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died for you and I. John 3:16, God so loved the world. You are important to God. God loved you. He gave His Son to die for you. Are you living for Him? Are you valuing? Are you minding? Do you have an understanding of the things that are valuable to God? Again, go to our website, www.eastside-church.org. On that website, you can find some Bible helps. You can find the contact information of the elders, of Steve. Invite you again to meet with us here in Athens with the church for Bible study at 9 a.m. and then worship. If you have a question, a Bible question about something that I said, call me. We'll get together and study. 256-206-2057. Thank you for listening.